I'm Frank Morris in St. Joseph, Missouri, where civic leaders yesterday celebrated the opening of the city's first working river port.
1, 2, 3.
All right.
This facility is in fact a big gravel parking lot bordered by train tracks on one side and the Missouri River on the other. A rusty red crane is perched on a steel-girded dock above the fast-moving river. But even at this optimistic moment, as the crane unloads coils of steel rod, some here bemoan the specter of restricting water flows in the Missouri River.
It'll be the end of navigation, from what I understand.
John Massman is a marine contractor who's worked on the Missouri for 45 years. He says lower water levels during summer would cripple the barge industry, just because, he says, of an attempt to save some birds and a prehistoric-looking fish.
How many people in this audience here ever heard of a pallid sturgeon until 5 years ago, or cared? I mean, that's a good question. I've never seen one, and I didn't know they were endangered until some environmentalists from back on the East Coast decided they were.
Massman says the disappearance of barges from the river would hurt another species he considers endangered, farmers. Fertilizer going upstream and grain headed down account for most of the $8 million a year of shipping traffic on this river. Barges move the stuff a lot cheaper than trucks or trains do. And many here, like Missouri Senator Kit Bond, the guest of honor at yesterday's dedication ceremony, scoff at the idea of a controlled flood.
The government doesn't need to be in the flood business. Nature already does that for Missouri. As we saw very starkly just a couple of weeks ago, if spring flooding is what endangered species need, they ought to be flourishing.
Farther downstream, where the river passes the broad flat plains near Oreck, Missouri, floods are a part of life. Tom Waters farms and lives in the middle of this open country. From his big picture windows, he can survey miles of bright green corn plants. But about this time 9 years ago, floods inundated his land.
Of the 3,500 acres that we farm, in 1993, we harvested about 9 acres. So, you know, wasn't really even worth pulling the combine out of the barn for.
Despite the risks, Tom Waters' family has worked this rich soil for 7 generations. Farmers here have, over the years, built a network of ditches which drain field runoff into a culvert deep and wide enough to swallow a long row of houses. It empties here, where a pair of huge pipes pour into the Missouri. But when the river's high, flap gates close to keep river water from backing up into the fields. That also plugs the drainage system and turns the bottoms into a swamp. Tom Waters worries any change in the Corps' river management policy will take some of his valuable land out of production.
My farm's not a laboratory, and I don't want to be a guinea pig. And that's what's happening here. They're just wanting to experiment, and I'm the one that affects.
But Tom Waters and others downstream on the Missouri don't see dramatic change coming anytime soon. Farmers, barge operators, environmentalists, and other interests will likely pursue political and legal options after the Corps finally decides how it wants to manage water flow on the Missouri River. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris in Oreck, Missouri.